Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
This is an encore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my co-host, Hall of Famer, Leanne Whippin. Leanne Whippin. Now I need to start over. Coming to you from our respective Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland and Tampa. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, Beef the Boy Nature Intended, and also the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. If you've never had Dungeness Crab, you're missing something. That's the only thing I can tell you. So check them both out online. And we'd like to welcome Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill. It's been a while, Christy, since you've been here, and you've come a very long ways. In fact, the last time I saw you was actually last year, marching in the parade at Lynchburg. And I kind of said, hi, Christy, and you said, hi. And then you turned around and recognized me, and you went, oh, hi. But then they kind of pushed you down the road like that, so we never got a chance to talk. What's the journey been like to start with since you started Girls Can Grill?
Yeah, really surreal, I would say. Just completely surreal. Like when I started, I barely knew how to grill. I was just kind of figuring it out. And it was my blog or website kind of started as a journal of me figuring out how to cook. And I've got to credit Ray Lampe when he actually gifted me a Big Green Egg. And I think it was 2014, if I'm not mistaken, when he was at the World Food Championships. He'd cooked on it and they were just giving him away to locals. And I happened to be a local. And that helped me kind of hone my skills a little bit. And that's part of what led me to launch the website. And then from there, jumping into competition barbecue, becoming a certified judge, just social media at the time, there wasn't a lot of barbecue content. Now it's like nonstop, but it's just been a full evolution. And this is my full-time job now, which is crazy. If you would have asked me if I could have done that like 8 years ago. So it's been really cool. And I still think there's a lot more adventure to happen and to come.
Oh, yeah, because when we talked, you were still working, I think, for the Forest Service or the Parks.
Park Service.
Mm-hmm. Park Service, yeah. I liked your little ranger hat, though. That was kind of cool. But in this journey, I know you've met a lot of interesting people, I'm assuming. And how have those people kind of changed you a little bit or influenced you?
Yeah, well, Leanne, to start with, has always been a big inspiration to me. At that same World Food Championships I was talking about earlier, where I met Dr. Barbecue, I think that might have been the first time I met Leanne, and she was competing. And I knew about grilling, but I didn't know about competition barbecue. And I saw everybody over there doing their thing, and I was like, this is cool. This is the space I want to be in. And then, you know, her being the only female in barbecue pit masters, that was an inspiration as well. And so just to see somebody successful and bold and strong in that space, and there's other women as well. It's just been, those are people have really inspired me.
That's very nice. And you inspire people today. And it's nice to see a woman in barbecue. And I think you've really taken it to the next level. It isn't just competition. You know, you do so much on social media. I mean, just everything. You're brand ambassador for a lot of different companies. And it's nice to see that because there aren't that many. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Leanne's I'm being sincere for once. Leanne's been a big inspiration for a lot of people. We do get that a lot. And I'm very honored to have her as my co-pilot on this adventure. So, I think we've learned a little bit from each other, but I'm sure I've learned 10 times more from her than she has from me. So, it's a good thing.
Your blog has just grown tremendously. I mean, what kind of numbers are you looking at right now?
I get about 2 million visitors a year to my website.
That's outstanding.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. And it continues to grow. But the main thing is I'm just trying to provide helpful content. You know, I'm trying to find out what questions people have about barbecue. Like the number one questions always seem to be about brisket. And it always is, how long should I cook this brisket? My brisket's 10 pounds. How many hours will it take? And it's so hard to train people to cook to temperature and not so focused on time. So that's been the biggest thing. But yeah, it's been a fun ride, and I'm just trying to continue to give content that will help people become better barbecuers.
Yeah, you do not only backyard, but you do a lot on competition barbecue. Mm-hmm. No, and no secrets. I mean, you're out there showing the prep and everything. And I've watched a lot, and you know, gotten some great tips. So thank you for that too. Uh huh.
Overall, and you guys just touched on this. If you look at social media, and my feeds are full of barbecue people, as you can imagine, right? And I know Leanne's are, and I'm sure yours are, Christy. But every day there's at least 457,000 images of brisket out there on there. But the one thing that's a little different, I think, is that, like Leanne just said, you're sharing everything with your posts like that versus, you know, here's a lovely piece of sliced brisket or somebody's stuffing it in their pie hole or doing whatever. But I think you really get to the pardon the pun, the meat of the matter and help people figure that out. And I agree with you. I think the toughest thing is to get people away from time and focus on temperature, because I don't, when people say, you know, and Leanne, I think would back me up on this. Like when you're doing a TV spot or something and they say, well, how long will this take? Well, hell, I don't know, but you got to get it to 195 degrees, you know, or whatever. Right. So, go ahead.
I think that one thing I thought about when I started Girls Can Grill is like what my overall mission was. And I've reached a point where sure, I could teach competition classes, and some competition classes cost $750 to, you know, $1,500, depending on the cook. But my whole mission is to get more people interested in grilling and get more people interested in barbecue. And as I've become connected with the competition barbecue family, I really want to see more people in competition barbecue. And that's not a cheap sport. So these new teams don't necessarily have $1,000 to drop on going to a competition class, and more if they have to fly there and pay for rooms. And so if I want to help the sport grow, I feel like I need to just provide the information I have. It's not so much about me making money. I do that in other ways. So if I can help the sport by sharing my tips and secrets and people can try them, and then it introduces new people to barbecue, and whether it's on the competition scene or in the backyard, to me, that's more important than, you know, putting extra money in my pocket. And I don't mean to diss anybody who is doing classes. I've been to so many of the classes. I really appreciate them. It's just the approach that I chose to take to help build the community.
When did you know it was time to pull the plug on a day job, so to speak, and jump into this 24/7?
I planned for it for quite a while. So I worked for the federal government, which was a benefit because after 20 years, I earn a pension. Once I turn of a certain age, then I'll get my pension. But I knew that it was a place I wanted to be about 5 years prior to my retirement date. And so I just knew what I needed to do myself to financially prepare to pay off debt, you know, and get everything like in order, so that once that date came where I hit my 20-year mark, that I was set and I was ready, and that Girls Can Grow was financially sound on its own. So it's not something that somebody could wisely just say, okay, I'm going to retire tomorrow. I think if you plan for it, though, it's definitely achievable.
You're not old enough to have worked 20 years.
I am 50 years old.
Oh,
wow.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Flies.
Oh, my goodness. It does. Yeah, it does fly like that. How does your husband and your family think of all this adventure?
They love it, and they think it's because of what barbecue is. It's because of the barbecue family. So every competition, my husband comes with me and my in-laws come with me. And then sometimes my parents come as well. But their favorite part is just showing up to the competition, see who's there, and then just, you know, shooting the breeze with all the local cooks. Like, we've all become family, especially out here on the West Coast. So they're 100% down with it. I'm the sole cook on my team, but they definitely help. My husband does all the logistics, loads my drums. He keeps an eye on the pits for, you know, the temperatures when I'm inside doing stuff in the trailer. And my mother-in-law does the greens for my boxes. So they each have their own little role, but they're 100% on board.
Well, good for you. And you still are speaking to each other at the end of the weekend?
Yes, they know when I start to get to a point. I do turn into bitch mode sometimes. So they're like, okay, time to step out of the trailer. She's having the meet didn't go well. Let's go.
Well, the upside for them, besides what you're preparing, there's a lot of free samples. If you know everybody, you walk around the back of the trailer, you know,
100%.
That's a really good thing. What do you think is the biggest thing you've learned, not about social media and ambassador programs and all that, but as far as actually barbecuing and cooking and grilling?
I think because I've cooked on probably 60 to 75 different grills, the consistent thing between all of them is to learn and understand the heat of that grill itself. Whether you have a pellet grill, a gas grill, a fire pit, a charcoal grill, whatever, once you can understand the concept of heat, indirect and direct, and then you also understand the concept of meat internal temperatures and really focusing on that, like I said, instead of time, then you can master anything on any fire source, in my opinion. So once I kind of made that realization, I feel like that's when I kind of was able to, like, the light bulb came on for me.
You've cooked on so many grills. Do you have some favorites?
You know, it really varies. I do love a gas grill if it's just a quick, especially right now, it's, you know, I was just telling Jeff, it was 120 degrees in Vegas this weekend. Mm-hmm. So like a gas grill where I can just turn it on, throw some meat on quickly and go back inside in the AC. I love that. Every pellet grill I've used is fine. Pellet grills are fine for me. I personally like the flavor of charcoal better. So right now I'm having a really good time with my Masterbuilt Gravity Feed, I guess it's called. Because it functions like charcoal, where you just like set the temperature. It functions like a pellet grill where you set the temperature, but it runs on charcoal. And I really like the flavor of charcoal. So that's been my favorite right now. But yeah, it really varies. I love a griddle too. Those are always fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that you could probably go outside and show people right now, today, that you actually can fry an egg on the sidewalk in Vegas there.
I just posted a video of that.
I saw that.
I tried. I did it in the cast iron skillet because I didn't want to get the sidewalk dirty. but they were the same temp, but they only got to like 140 and it was kind of a fail. But somebody the other day posted a video. They put marshmallows on the antenna of their car and drove around and made s'mores. So yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, it's very hot. We are going to take another break, or a first break, I should say, and we're going to be back with Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill, along with Leanne and myself, right after this. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool, Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Hall of Famer Leanne Whippin, and today our guest is Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill. Don't forget, you can check out, we've got a bunch of websites between Leanne and myself and her Pig Powder website, my golf website and all that stuff. But if you go to barbecuenationjt.com, they'll link to everybody there. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Insta. And I don't think we do TikTok. Leanne, do you do TikTok?
No. Mm-mm.
No. No, I'm not.
No, I mean, I manage my social media myself and I'm not very good at it. All I need is another one to deal with. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I have found that a little off subject here as far as barbecue, but I have found that the more advice I take from people, the more time I'm sitting at this desk posting stuff. And I'm like, I got other stuff to do. So I find that. Anyway, we're talking with Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill. Christy, Well, she competed in season 4 of Barbecue Brawl. How did you like working on TV? Leanne and I have a little experience in that. So,
yeah, Leanne's the Barbecue Brawl champ. I loved it. I mean, I've worked in TV, so to speak, for 20 years because that's what I did for the government. I was a spokesperson for the Army, the Park Service, and the Air Force. So I was constantly doing interviews, but I was never on like the entertainment production side. So it felt natural for me, but it was definitely challenging because the competition was good. Like they were really high-end chefs and I'm just kind of a backyard barbecue cook. So yeah, that part was definitely challenging, but the cameras didn't bother me at all.
Good. Good for you. We get a lot of guests on the show that say, we'd like to have our own TV show. And Leanne always pipes up and I support her in this and say, be careful what you wish for.
It is a lot of work, but Ray Lampe's on the new one that's out.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, when you're cooking and doing that, how would you rate your progression?
I would actually say it's been cyclical in that when I started, I was doing pretty easy recipes. And then I went through a phase where I definitely got more complex and, more fancy ingredients and maybe trying to make things sexy for Instagram. And now I'm realizing that people still need the easy recipes. So like yesterday, I just posted a recipe for the grape jelly meatballs. Like that's just like a classic recipe that in the 80s was at every potluck party. And people still enjoy them today. So I was like, well, let me do those on the grill. So I think bringing back the basics and not just trying to get so overly fancy and bring in truffles and gold dust, like let's make things that people actually want to eat. And so I went through that cycle of that, I think. And now I'm kind of coming back to, I still do some kind of extreme stuff, but I still want to keep it, again, familiar to match with my mission and vision of making barbecue approachable for more people.
Do you think that sometimes people, if you will, try too hard to, and I'm not dissing them. I'm just saying, with the advent of social media, everybody's looking for that edge, if you will, because things are so spontaneous and quick and they're looking for that edge. But I think
it's a necessity to try to get numbers. You have to find a way to like break through the noise. And so sometimes it is doing stuff that's wild and crazy. Honestly, I don't think there's any rules to social media and actually making something hit. It just, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for somebody to like stuff a bowling ball and then say, this is the greatest new thing like that. I find that very fascinating. What kind of feedback do you get from the people that look at your blog and your videos and all that? I mean, I'm sure it's 99.9% positive because you do such a great job, but what do they come from? Do they come from, I don't understand, again, back to the time versus temp, or is it, how do you trim a brisket? What is it?
Yeah, I think I have a really weird mix of people on who follow me. And by weird, I just mean that they're complete diverse in that I have competition cooks. Many of them are the new cooks who are looking for tips and tricks and they want to get into the sport. But then I have a really huge following of people who use the Ninja Grill, the outdoor grill, because I was on the infomercial a couple years back. And so they are mainly new to barbecue. Like this is the first grill that they got. So I have this mix of kind of teaching people from the very beginning, like how do I cook a chicken thigh on my Ninja Grill, all the way to how do I do a competition chicken thigh trim for an upcoming competition. So it is very diverse in that range. But most of the time the feedback is positive. When my algorithms hit in the grill space, it is a lot of people saying, oh, this was so helpful, thank you. And they'll follow up maybe if they have another question. But when the algorithms push me outside of the barbecue space, and then I start hitting the feeds of people who are not familiar, especially with competition barbecue, the comments get atrocious when they see me trim a chicken thigh because they're like, you wasted so much meat. You have no idea what you're doing. Girls can't grill. Like, I just get people that just don't understand, so then I just respond with like a picture of trophies and I'm like, okay. But yeah. So it's an interesting social media world.
I think Leanne, the first time we had Harry Sue on the program, and he had we were talking about something similar, and he had a picture that he popped up of his garage with all the trophies and stuff in it, and he said that usually shuts most of them up, if I remember that story correctly. Yeah, it's good. When you get an idea, when you get inspired, do something, Christy. What is the impetus for that? Is it, can it just come out of nowhere or?
Of the time, you know, I use what I have on hand. I hate wasting things. Sometimes social media, it's not like you're copying them, but it does inspire you.
Yeah, I definitely do get inspiration from social media. I find probably the most inspiration walking through the grocery store. Just if a certain piece of meat sticks out to me, or maybe there's a new type of vegetable or fruit that I see that looks fresh at the market. But I also, this is going to sound kind of funny, but I read really old cookbooks. Like I have the White House cookbook, you know, I have really older cookbooks.
Golf
clap, golf clap.
And one of my favorite places is newspapers.com. So when I'm writing a recipe, for instance, these grape jelly meatballs, I wanted to know like, what was the history of that? So I subscribed to newspapers.com and you can punch in something and you can go back and read. And I was learning about how in the 1960s, these two women decided to make a cookbook about easy recipes so that when you're hosting the party, you don't have to work so hard. You can be a guest at your own party. And so they came up with this recipe among, you know, with several others, I think like 200 others in the cookbook. So I wanted to tell that story when I wrote the blog post instead of just making another recipe of grape jelly meatballs. So I do find a lot of inspiration in food history, I think.
Mm-hmm. There you go. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill right there in the tropical city of Las Vegas right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Ms. Whippet, Hall of Famer, is on one side of the screen here. And Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill is on the other side of the screen. And I'm kind of way off to the side. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. And also Pig Powder. Hit it, Leanne.
Oh, well, Pig Powder's been out of stock recently. Boo-hoo. But I have the 24-ounce in stock. It's also available on Amazon in the smaller bottles. And the reason for the delay is I'm in the process of redoing labels and creating spicy pig powder. So,
Very good.
But you can get the 24-ounce now.
I will tell you this. I found an extra large pig powder in my pantry. And so I put it in with some barbecue books and stuff yesterday for one of the raffle prizes at the tournament I played in, and it was a hit. They all knew it.
Good.
They were all aware of it. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, Christy, you represent a lot of brands, a lot. And so who do you currently represent?
So Cowboy Charcoal is one of my main ambassadors. And then I just do kind of work with different companies all the time. So right now I'm actually working with Men's Journal on a barbecue series. So not necessarily a barbecue brand, but they want to promote barbecue. So I've been working with them, been doing, you know, separate media interviews. Masterbuilt's always been a good partner. Ninja Grills, they just actually texted me today. So I think there's going to be another project that I'm going to be doing with them. But yeah, just varies kind of throughout the year, but primarily Cowboy. Hunsaker, I've been working with them as a drum smoker for years. Not so much in an ambassador capacity, but just like Thermoworks, I'm not necessarily an ambassador, but I love their products. And so I just naturally endorse their products, and we just do fun stuff together. So those are brands that I really believe in.
Yeah, you just did a deal with Tuffy up in Utah, didn't you? You were at a Thermoworks bash,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, they launched their new wireless meat thermometer, which isn't out yet, but it's coming very soon. And so I'm really excited to give that one a whirl.
Good for you. What's your favorite thing to cook outside of competition, Christy? I mean, you know, those are set in stone, so to speak. But when you're home or if you're having guests over, by the way, you were talking in the previous segment about the grape jelly meatballs. And so you could attend your own party. I went to a barbecue on July 4th. I didn't have to cook. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that would be odd, right?
Yeah, I just kind of sat there looking like, you know, like a meerkat or something. Anyway, what's your favorite thing to do?
Probably call me beef ribs. We eat those probably once a week. Those are our favorite. Just throw them in the marinade and throw them on the grill. So it's a nice quick meal. But yeah, that's probably my favorite thing to cook. Really hot and fast.
What's your husband's?
He loves that too. Like, I think that's why it's just, and then he loves a good burger too. Smash burger. He prefers the smash burgers. So throw those on the griddle every now and then.
What's your favorite thing to do with burgers? I mean, we see stuff, you know, anywhere from do what?
Simple. Yeah. Onions, American cheese, and the pickle.
Yay.
And mustard.
Oh, yeah. My husband puts mustard on his, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you have a secret sauce? Everybody seems to have a secret sauce.
I can make a secret sauce, but no, we just keep it plain. Now, my hot dogs, I do. I mix mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, and relish, and I love to smear that on my hot dogs. But for burgers, yeah, I just like it pretty much plain with that, like the knife. And I like to cook them in beef tallow, so I don't usually need a condiment on it. It just gets the fat from that and good to go.
You're just making me hungry. You're just making me hungry. You live in Vegas and I live in the Northwest, and Leanne lives below the Mason-Dixon line over there. The competitions are coming along out here on the West. They've got a long ways to go to catch up to the South and to the East and the Central States, but we are seeing some growth in it here and there.
Yeah, actually, I was just reading the KCBS minutes from their meeting this week, and they talked about how the number of competitions on the West Coast is concerning for them because it is substantially lower than it has been, since I think they compared it to like 2018. I'm definitely seeing fewer competitions out West. I was supposed to go to Hawaii in November, and they just announced that one got canceled, which I'm totally bummed about. But Utah has picked up. They've got a couple. I'm actually trying to host a competition in Vegas in sometime between December and February. I'm working out logistics with the location. So I think there's people trying to bring them back. But it's tough. I think financially it's tough to organize one.
Yeah, it's just become so expensive that I feel like competition is really kind of gone down for sure. And a lot of it I attribute to the cost of it, because everybody's buying the expensive meats, to win. So it's kind of sad, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely expensive for cooks, but also for organizers because in Vegas, like I hosted the State Cook-Off Association competition here. The location fees to use a parking lot at a casino can be $5,000 to $15,000 a day. Like you just can't afford that without sponsors. Right. So yeah, that makes it tough.
Well, and the other thing out here is that back in the Southeast, for example, you can drive 300 miles and you can cover three or four states. Mm-hmm. Out here, you drive 300 miles and you go from the northern Oregon border to the southern Oregon border, and California is worse and Nevada's really long and all that. So geographically, and the travel is very expensive out here too, try to draw people from neighboring areas to come into that.
The furthest one I've gone to, other than the Jack, is 8 hours north to Ogden, Utah. But beyond 8 hours, like that just makes it tough because then you got 2 days of travel usually. And I don't usually go up to Northern California unless I'm judging because it's just a long drive.
Yeah, it is a very, very long drive. Did you think 10 years ago, when you kind of were starting to get interested in grilling and barbecuing and that, did you think that you would go this far? Did you think you would be where you are today?
Not at all. I remember, when I used to cater occasionally when my husband was in the Army. And I remember the day I was sitting at work and I was talking to one of my coworkers. People had asked me for a recipe of something that I catered, nothing to do with grilling, just regular cooking. And he told me about this concept called a blog. And this was in 2010, I think it was. And I was like, I don't know what a blog is. And he explained it to me. And the next day I figured it out and I got a WordPress site. And I started, that blog was called zestuous.com. And it was about my travels around the world as an Army wife and the different foods that I created from the different cultures and experiences that I had. And I just started just throwing my ideas out there and, kind of like a diary and just sharing recipes. And then it was when I got that grill and I kind of realized that I wanted to experiment. I love being outdoors, hence that's why I was a park ranger. But I just wanted to see, can I cook all these things that I cook inside, outside on a grill? And then it evolved and evolved and evolved. And then social media kind of became big. And then that's when brands started reaching out to me. And I didn't pitch to brands at first. They would just say, hey, we're interested in what you're doing. And because my background is in public relations and marketing for the government, then I kind of realized, wait a minute, if I take the tools that I'm doing to promote the government and these government agencies and do that for myself, like maybe this can work for me. And then it just kind of all fell into place.
How did you get into doing that? I mean, I know you got your undergraduate degree and your master's in communications, mm-hmm. journalism and all that stuff. But how did you get hooked into working with the government? Was it because your husband was in the Army already, or how did that
go? Yeah. Yeah, that didn't guarantee my job by any means. But when we moved to Kansas, they list government job openings, and there was an opening to be a writer for the military newspaper. And so I applied for that and got that job. And then from there, just every time we moved, excuse me, I would always look for the public relations jobs for the government at the different places we moved to. And I was very fortunate that at most duty assignments, there was an opening. And so then I took those jobs. And then once he was getting ready to retire, a job opened up in Vegas. That was with the Park Service. And then that's when I transferred to the Park Service and did public relations for them.
Were you ever in the service yourself?
No, no.
Just curious how that, where do you see yourself 5-10 years from now?
That's a great question. I hope to, my rubs have been on hold for a little while, so I definitely want my rubs back out there. I'm working with a new co-packer, so that should happen hopefully in a couple months. I hope to have a cookbook out, maybe two by then. I want Girls Can Grill to continue to grow. I've got my podcast right now that I started this year, but 5 years from now, I'm also trying to build a young Girls Can Grill team of new girls who are trying to get into competition barbecue, because I realize like I can't lead the way forever, in my space anyway. And so I want to continue to be financially stable and share the love of barbecue and stay as active as possible, but also take more vacations because I don't do that.
Well, that's true. We got to go to break here in a minute and a half, but Christy, what besides like brisket and stuff, when people ask you about ribs, and I'm kind of hitting the highlights here with you, but that seems to be the one cook that people have a lot of problems with. I'm putting brisket aside. Mm-hmm. So I'll categorize this as one of the easier things to do, but what do people hit you with when they're asking about how to do ribs?
Do you mean from a competition standpoint or in general? Or
just the backyard folks.
I don't actually get a lot of questions about ribs. I mean, once they understand the 3-2-1 method, and then we have conversations about, do you want fall off the bone or do you want, bite through like we have in competition. I think people in some cases are scared to cook it long enough. I think that they just don't wait for them to get all the way like bendy and flexible. And it, mm-hmm. once they realize that, again, it's not a time, even the 3-2-1 is like a general like time thing.
Right.
Once I teach them, like it's what you need to look for is this, and you can probe it and feel it and stuff like that. Then I think that I see the light bulb a lot when people finally put their clocks away.
My wife tells me I put my clock away years ago, but that's a different deal. We are going to take another break, come back and wrap up the show with Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill. And you're listening to Barbecue Nation on a bazillion platforms and also the USA Radio Networks. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever is at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to the Nation. Barbecue Nation, that is. I'm JT. If I can find my script here, I'll keep going. We want to thank the folks also at Gorilla Grills and Heritage Steel and Hammerstall Knives. We appreciate all their help with us. And Leanne, I've got a little announcement I'll share. I told Christy before you came on the air, little announcement for you. Our film editor, Pete, sent me, I haven't looked at it, a rough cut of the first episode of Grilling at the Green.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those things take time.
They take time. So, and Christy told me that her people and her family like to golf. So I'm going to, when we get closer, I'm going to let her share that with people. And yeah. So it's all good. Christy, you say in your thing, you've got a 1.8 million annual readers. That's really cool. You get more than 1,000 pro tips, 400 grilling recipes, 7,500 reviews. Is there something you think you need more of? That's a great metric. Right. Yeah. There.
Thanks.
That's a ton. But is there something you're looking more for out of that?
You know, it's interesting. I think making recipes specific to grills. So, for instance, I was grilling shrimp yesterday and I was making a cocktail shrimp style. And if I cook it on my pellet grill, I needed to put the pellet grill to 300. If I cooked it on a gas grill, it needed to be 275. And so I think just those little variances of that is helpful for people. I also think that if you own a gas grill and that's all you're going to cook on, you're more likely to look for recipes that are written for gas grills or recipes written for pellet grills. So I think that I have a pretty full library of recipes themselves, but kind of breaking them down into grill type. And I try to do that in the post itself. Like if you have this kind of grill, here's how to do it. but the game with Google, like my tri-tip on a gas grill performs really well because that's all it's about is how to cook it on a gas grill. So I think that there's room where I could do some stuff like that. And then, like I said earlier about being cyclical, I think there's some basic recipes that I can bring to the site that, like I said, with the meatballs, those aren't traditionally made on a grill. They're made in a crock pot. But I think I can take some of those classics and introduce them to the grill or smoker and put those on the site as well.
Do you think folks that use gas grills, which is actually a majority of people in this country, sometimes get a bad rap from the competition people?
Yeah.
And I know Leanne has too. Yeah. Well, if you cook on a gas grill, that's not really barbecue or cooking. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. But it's the majority of people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the same thing with the pellet grill, but now so many competition cooks use the pellet grill for their chicken. So, you know, it's, I think to me, it doesn't matter. It's the same argument that people have about well-done steaks. I don't care if you like your steak well done. That's great. You're eating steak and you like it and it's cooked the way you like it. I don't care if you have a gas grill or a pellet grill or a charcoal grill. Like as long as you're barbecuing and you're creating good food and you're enjoying it, to me, that's all that matters. So I don't get into those games. I don't know why people have to be so strong-willed in their opinions about it. Let's just celebrate that people are barbecuing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think that's very well said. Do you think that one of your goals that you stated earlier in the show was to get more girls, more women involved in that?
Yeah, I do. And I think I've seen it over the past 8 years of social media accounts. I mean, and I think that pellet girls actually did help transform that, because when I started in 2015, the biggest feedback I got from women is that they didn't like charcoal because it was dirty. They were scared of a gas grill because you push the button and that big poof of flame, they were scared they're going to blow something up. So once the pellet grill came out, it kind of the crock pot of the grills, you push a button and it works and there's not a lot of cleanup. The ash is pretty small. And when you do see a lot of women on social media, there are exceptions, of course, but a lot of the women are using pellet grills because it's easy and it's comfortable and they can cook or bake something that they cook indoors, outdoors. So I think that that social media has helped with the revolution. I think that I give credit to brands because they are including more women in their advertising and marketing material than in the past. So I don't think it's ever going to be 50-50, because just if you don't like grilling, you don't like grilling, and that's okay. If you don't want to be outside and drinking a beer and having a good time out there, that's fine if you like to be inside. So it's not for everybody, but I think it's definitely the market's grown. I don't have any analytics necessarily to support that, but just from what I see on social media, I think it has.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to people, women especially?
Yeah, so I actually have an article on my website about this. And one of the pieces of advice that I give is if they have a male partner and they have a grill and he's the griller, is to talk to him and say, hey, can I make a side dish on the grill today? You know, you make the burgers or the steaks that you're so good at. I want to try grilling asparagus, or just go out there and have a conversation with him about how he uses this grill, if you're truly interested in it, and just start that up. And then if you don't have a male partner or you're single, start with a small, inexpensive grill. You know, even just one of those, like a Weber is a great grill to just start with, just the classic Weber. And it does come down to research, because you've got to watch YouTube videos or, you know, read books or, you know, go to blogs to figure out how to do the charcoal chimney and all that stuff. But the information is out there completely compared to 2015 when I started. There weren't as many videos and it wasn't as much information as there is now.
And Leanne, I want to get your take on this before we go. I think a lot of the quote unquote secrets of barbecue have been, you know, the lid's been taken off of those, you know, family secret for the competition cooks, whatever. You'll get a lot of it, but you won't get every bit of it. But I think that's a good thing. What are your thoughts?
I think there's such a difference between competition food versus backyard food. And I don't eat competition food. I don't particularly care for it. And I think it's hard to convey that to the viewers and people that are watching the difference between the two, because if somebody's starting out, they're going to immediately say, oh, I want to make competition barbecue. Well, I would actually steer that person away from it. I think there needs to be more explanation of the difference so that people know that grilling without doing these tips and tricks from the competitors is still good and you can still make great barbecue.
Christy, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that actually leads me to something else that just popped in my mind that I'm kind of worried about for barbecue, and that is AI. And that is where people are using, whether they go to the new Meta AI or ChatGPT or whatever and type in, I want a brisket recipe, and it just spits out some recipe. Or I was at the CES Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and there was a grill where it has an app and you can type in, okay, in my refrigerator, I have chicken, garlic, you know, whatever else, butter. And then it would create an artificial intelligent recipe and tell you how to cook it. And my fear with that for the future of barbecue is that those recipes were never tested. So if somebody like relies on what ChatGPT spits out or what this app spits out and then spends money on meat and cooks it and it doesn't work, they're going to think that they're not a good barbecuer, that they're not a good griller because they follow their instructions and it didn't work. So I do worry about that. And I advise people, you know, go to trusted sources for your, whether it's a video or a website or whatever, to get to use a recipe. But Leanne has a great point. And also understand that the recipe is either geared for competition or geared for backyard cooking.
That's absolutely correct. And trusted sources, Girls Can Grill. That's a really trusted source.
Yes, thank you.
Christy Van Over has been with us today.
Yeah, and how can we find you on social media and all that, even though I know where?
Yes, you can find me at girlscangrill.com. You can find me at Girls Can Grill on pretty much every single social media platform. And then I also do my barbecue tips podcast every Thursday.
And Christy's going to stick around for after hours. So for Leanne and myself, remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Go out, have some barbecue, have some fun. And this time of year, stay cool. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.